Welcome to the Low Mileage Tour on the 435 Voices podcast. I'm Bill Crabe, and during the rest of this spring and summer, then into the fall, I hope to be able to share the experience I had 29 years ago in 1991. In that baseball season, my friend Sue Esler and I visited all 178 professional baseball parks across the U.S. and Canada. You'll find some video footage from that trip by searching for Low Mileage Tour on YouTube. But here on the podcast, I'm hoping to visit with people that remember the ballparks in a way that we, as baseball nomads, never could. Thanks for listening to the Low Mileage Tour on the 435 Voices podcast. My guest this morning is Dave Zydelis. Dave has been the general manager of the Frederick Keys since 2004. Dave, maybe tell us a little about yourself. Where'd you grow up and how'd you end up in Frederick?
Well, certainly if you talk to 100 different baseball executives or executives in sports, they'll have 100 different ways of where they got to where they are. So, and very, very briefly, I'm from the Boston area, actually Lexington, Mass, first battle of the American Revolution. So I did grow up a Red Sox fan. In fact, my daughter's legal middle name on her birth certificate is Fenway. I then went to school in Philadelphia at Temple University. I have a BA in journalism. And then I moved to San Diego and started working for the Padres. I was in San Diego for 11 years, worked for the Padres, also worked for America's Cup professional yacht racing, and always had the hankering of baseball. So went back into baseball to the Quad Cities, and I was there for 5 years. In the QCA and then here to Frederick. So I've been a general manager of minor league teams for 21 years. So I have major league and minor league experience. But yeah, similar to yourself, and I remember your 1991 trip vividly and watching it on ESPN, and you did visit Jack Murphy Stadium at that time. I'm a huge ballpark enthusiast as well, and probably been to 90 different facilities, major and minor, across
the country. Wow. So even when you're not running the team in one particular ballpark, you make it to some other ones.
I tell you, it drives my wife crazy where we've it sometimes on Christmas Eve landed into on Southwest in Manchester, New Hampshire. It's Christmas Eve. It's snowing out. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we have to go two exits north so I can look at the ballpark on Christmas Eve that had just opened rather than driving into Massachusetts to join with family. So
the home of the Fisher Cats. Well, how could you miss
that?
You
got it. Yep, that's right. I tell you, those of us that love it, even if it's in the winter, if you're a mile or two or you know there's a ballpark, you got to at least see the outside of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're driving around at night and you see the lights, they sort of draw you like a moth, right?
It is. It's a magnet.
Well, so Dave, you've been in Frederick for 16 years. And I saw an interview someplace, I think, that you said that you were doing exactly what you always wanted. What makes being a GM in Frederick your dream job?
Well, I mean, Frederick's a wonderful town. It's actually the second largest city in Maryland, and it's a quaint, historic kind of Main Street USA. So you have the best of both worlds. It's a small town where everybody knows everyone, but then the big cities are right down the road, Baltimore and Washington, D.C. So the quality of life is very high here. But a lot of us that work, or most of us that work in minor league baseball, love it because, number one, we're so close to the community and the fans, and we can make a difference, and we autonomize. So it's like we're running our own business, and it's tremendous. We feel like we're in control of our destiny. Mm-hmm. And again, we're so close. We can, from the initial creativity and idea process to implementing a project or an idea or an initiative and then see it be a success, we love doing that. We love rolling up our sleeves. With the major league level, since the staffs are so much bigger, hundreds of people, you're more segmented. You're more of a brick in the wall. And so I've seen both sides, and they both have certainly advantages. And it's just a matter of what you want to do. And that's the great thing the country we live in is we all have the ability to do what we want to do.
Indeed. Well, so Harry Grove Stadium was almost brand new when we were there in 91. I think it was in its second year.
Second year, correct.
Yeah. So this would be the 30th anniversary year, right?
Well, it's actually the 31st of the stadium and the 32nd of the team, because we did play in 1989 at McCurdy Field, which is a smaller city field closer into downtown.
And where was the Frederick franchise before that?
The franchise came down from Hagerstown, actually.
Ah, okay. The long mixture of teams coming in and out of Hagerstown, I guess.
Correct.
As you think back, you've been there since 2004. How has Harry Grove Stadium changed over the years?
Well, since I've been here, unfortunately, when I arrived, the stadium was in decay, and it had been neglected for a number of years. And since I've been here, we've probably done about $6 million worth of improvements. Things such as new playing field, video board, scoreboard, field lights, certainly new seating areas. We've renovated the club and suite level a couple different times. Restrooms have been renovated. Press box have been renovated. So a lot of that is big projects. Some of that is just simple TLC and fresh paint and things of that nature. So we have certainly undergone a metamorphosis. Of course, the level of expectation in our industry continues to rise. Every year there's new facilities opening, just like in the Carolina League. We've had new facilities this year in Fredericksburg and last year in Fayetteville. So we always have to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah. Well, and the Carolina League is a competitive league. I was having a conversation with North Johnson yesterday about this and talking about his time in Kinston. And even though it plays at the same level as both the Florida State League and the California League in the world of minor league baseball, Carolina League has always been, you would think, I haven't done the numbers, but much, much larger in terms of attendance and competition. So there is a bit of keeping up with the Joneses, I assume.
Well, there certainly is, and it is a wonderful league, and I know North very well, and certainly I was here as well when he was in Kinston. And it's a league that's very tight-knit in terms of behind the scenes, the fellow GMs, the fellow owners. We all know each other. Of course, we're not in competition as businesses, although we are on the field. And so we certainly share ideas. But you're correct, Bill, where from an attendance standpoint, we're sort of in the heart of America, and we're very desirable. There's a lot of major league franchises that want their high-A affiliate in the Carolina League. They want to be on the East Coast. And so it is a very desirable league, and it has many great cities and communities that are involved.
It really is. I was just looking at some video of along the wall in Kinston. There were the teams that were in the league in 1991, and it's still since expanded, I think, right? So you've gone from 8 to, is it 10 now?
We have. Houston and Texas joined the league in Fayetteville and then Kinston as well, because Kinston didn't have a team for a few years there.
Right.
So, and because that was, they moved teams from, two teams from the California League moved into the Carolina League. And that's what it took. It took major league teams buying those minor league teams and moving them. And we expanded. The California League was reduced by two teams.
Dave, as a ballpark enthusiast, I've been to 90 stadiums. Tell me if you had to characterize Harry Grove Stadium to somebody who's never been there as being different somehow. What would make it different?
Well, how I explain it is, and we before we got on the podcast, we were talking about Camden Yards. And obviously, from a major league standpoint, Camden Yards revolutionized baseball architecture for to this day, for decades. And Harry Grove Stadium was one of the first minor league facilities to have the concourse above the seating area with your concession stands and restrooms, and to have a suite and club level. So we're on that cutting edge from a minor league perspective of introducing a facility that wasn't that old traditional sort of war era type with the big overhang and the concourse below, where you could not see the game while you're waiting in line for your food and beverages. So we were revolutionary at that time. Also, our ballpark is very intimate. There's not a bad seat. I know you could say that about every minor league ballpark, but there's not a bad sight line. And the vast majority of our seats are between the bases, basically. So,
and you say that you couldn't, you probably could say that about every minor league stadium today. In 1991, you could certainly not say that.
Yes.
There were a lot of bad seats and a lot of, Fenway Park. I know your affinity to it has always had the famous sort of seat behind the pole. And a lot of minor league parks were like that back in 1991.
Yes, there
is. We're visiting with Dave Zydelis. Dave is the general manager of the Frederick Keys, and we're going to come back with Dave right after this. with Dave Zydelis, Dave, the general manager of the Frederick Keys. Let's talk players, Dave. I think the Keys have been associated with the Baltimore Orioles for their entire existence. Full disclosure, I've been an Orioles fan since my older brother went to see him in the 1969
World Series. Love to hear that.
Yeah, well, it's a blessing and a curse, I suppose. As I think back, lots of great players in Oriole history. Who have been some of the best players you've seen to pass through the aisles at Harry Grove Stadium?
And I've been pretty fortunate, Bill, in my time here, which my first season was 2005, and the lead sort of player. We won the Carolina League Championship that year and also hosted the All-Star Game. But Nick Markakis was our star player that year. Mm. And certainly he was the MVP of the All-Star Game. He hit two home runs. And won the home run derby, actually. We had a few different major league players on that team, like Jim Johnson, the relief pitcher. Garrett Olson was on that team. And there were some others. But other star players, Matt Wieters, Jake Arrieta, Zach Britton, Brian Mattis, Manny Machado, Jonathan Scope, Trey Mancini. Those are some of the star players and future major league stars that have played here during my time. So we've won three championships since I've been here, and certainly sent a number of star prospects up to the big leagues. We were positioned to get Adley Rutschman this year to start the year. Obviously, the pandemic has delayed that, and so that would have been the second number one overall catcher draft pick to play for me, the first one being Joe Mauer in Quad wow. Cities back in 2002. So along with Matt Wieters, I guess I have a good track record of developing.
That's a pretty good these track record of catchers, yeah.
Yes, correct.
Wow, so listening to that list, if we were in normal times, I would be out on my front porch, and I live in Vermont, in Red Sox country, I will say. Listening to the Orioles, I miss the voice of Joe Angel almost every night as the soundtrack of my summer. And I know Joe has since retired, but listening to you rattle off those names brings it goosebumps to my arm, I have to say, as a longtime Oriole fan. Speaking of the O's, they're just 50 miles, I think, right? Down the interstate?
Even a little less than that, yes.
So how do you avoid attendance challenges? You know, a lot of minor league teams that have been in close proximity to major league clubs sometimes struggle with that. How do you sort of fend that off and keep folks coming to the Frederick Keys?
Well, Bill, that's a great question. And basically, we're not the same product as Major League Baseball. We're a different product. They are about seeing the best players in the universe play the game of baseball. We're about fun, affordable family entertainment. So we are about the promotions we do, the fireworks, the giveaways, the celebrity appearances, the fun zone, the mascot, the video board. We have the motto that every time they come to our family or a person comes to our ballpark, they're going to see something they've never seen before. So we don't compete. We're equal distance between Baltimore and the Nationals in Washington, D.C. And actually, our data shows our attendance does much better when they are both competitive. So when they're both putting winning teams on the field and they have a chance at the playoffs and maybe a World Series, our attendance rises. It puts baseball on the mind of more people in our region. And our drawing area certainly brushes with Baltimore and D.C. And we have about 4 to 5 million people that live in our drawing radius. We're a regional draw, and 2/3 of our attendance comes from outside Frederick County. And we spill into Northern Virginia, up into Pennsylvania, and certainly east and south as well. So again, more people thinking about baseball, watching baseball, listening to baseball, even if it's Major League Baseball, is better for us.
Well, and certainly it isn't. It's been a tough couple of years for the Orioles in the last couple of years, but before that, they had a nice run. I'm assuming that that connection with the local team, as opposed to being a double-A team for a team that was, say, in Chicago or something, makes it easier. Is that true?
It certainly does, and it's advantageous from both perspectives. It's great for the Orioles front office because they can easily get here, and they're frequently here watching different games. It's great to grow your fan base that way. We're Orioles country, and Frederick is, again, we're equal distance. and there is that opportunity that people could be Nationals fans. There's many more Orioles fans here in Frederick than Nationals fans. It's really – the Orioles were one of the first, maybe the first team that moved their minor league affiliates close. And it's Frederick, it's Bowie, it's Delmarva, it's Aberdeen. Even Norfolk, their AAA, is only about a four-hour drive. So you would say – you can say Baltimore, Cleveland, even Boston. They're among those first teams that sort of gravitated their minor league teams close to home.
Even all the way down to Bluefield. Yeah, you could get to all the Oriole affiliates,
correct.
I think,
yeah.
Within a few hours drive. Dave, you talked about promotions the night we were there, and I will never forget this video. They were having a cow milking contest, and I don't know whether it was whether this was a joke or not, but the Keys were playing the Durham Bulls that night, so a cow milking contest was particularly funny. But the players, not surprisingly, were not very good, and it made for some classic video. What are some of the promotions that you remember doing and having great success with, or just making some notable history with over the years?
Well, and the cow milking contest, we continued, and even my first few years here, we used to do that. And it was in partnership, I think, with our local farm bureau. And fans loved it. And we would always, the players to participate, we would always select players that maybe were from an urban area or even international players. We didn't, for reasons, we didn't want to pick players that were grew up on a farm or rural. Because when a cow is being milked and the milker doesn't know what they're doing, the cow does not like it too much. And so that's what led to some of the comedy. Now, you might ask the question, because we don't do it anymore, and obviously there's much more sensitivity on using animals for entertainment. And I think it was just, although we're trying to demonstrate the value of milking cows and farms and trying to promote farming in general, I think we both decided, and this might have been about 10 years ago, that it probably wasn't in the best interest to continue that type of promotion.
Uh-huh.
Similarly,
what about some other ones? Yeah.
Well, we used to have the Cowboy Monkey Rodeo has been legendary in minor league baseball, as well as it's appeared in NFL games. It's been on the David Letterman show. It's been on ESPN. But that was another one we discontinued a couple years ago. And really for the same reason, although the monkeys were treated very well, you just had PETA getting involved. And there's much more sensitivity to that these days. So, you know, certainly we want to be politically correct and in the best interests of all involved when we do these types of promotions. But for us here, celebrity appearances do extremely well. And sometimes it can be obscure celebrities. So we've had like the Soup Nazi from Seinfeld. We've had Pat Sajak. We've had different reality show stars like Mountain Man from Duck Dynasty. We've had all the different professional wrestlers over the years, like Sergeant Slaughter and the late George the Animal Steele about a decade ago. Those old professional wrestlers do phenomenal. People still come out for them. But a lot of times it's that pulp culture star. We hit on something last year where we had Stanley from The Office, the comedy show The Office. And we were scheduled to have Kevin from The Office this year. So when we can kind of find a celebrity that's more of a pop culture star or following, does actually better than a sports star, because we've had many different former Orioles and NFL players here. And when we can transcend different demographics and different generations, that seems to be – we bring in people that ordinarily wouldn't come to a baseball game. And that's when we seem to really catch lightning in a bottle, is when we bring them in.
That's interesting, that incorporation of sort of the rest of culture into the ballpark is part of the charm of minor league baseball for sure. Last question, Dave. So, you know, during the course of a baseball season, anybody that's listening to this podcast probably knows the general manager's life is fairly busy at the ballpark early in the day and late into the evening. But what do you do in Frederick when it's not baseball season? What do you like to do around the area?
Well, from a personal standpoint, if I'm not, you know, traveling around and visiting ballparks personally, I like to play golf, and I'm really into the craft beer scene. So I do like visiting breweries and even planning trips where maybe I'm combining a brewery with golf, with a ballpark, that type of thing. We're on the forefront of the craft beer scene here at Nimio Field. We opened a tap house last year. We have 12 different breweries represented, local, all Frederick breweries represented, and we put in a 24 tap system. You can even purchase a flight of beer.
Wow.
Here at our stadium, which is the only stadium or arena or ballpark I know that you can actually purchase a flight. So that's some of my personal interest.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Dave Zydelis, thank you so much for spending some time with me. It's been wonderful to revisit Harry Grove Stadium in Frederick, talk about the Orioles Class A affiliate in the Carolina League. I appreciate your time this morning.
Anytime, Bill. And again, I appreciate it. I remember your tour from 29 years ago vividly.
The Low Mileage Tour continues starting tonight in Baltimore, where 29 years ago this evening, we met up with my mom, who had come down from New Jersey, and I got to go to one last game at Memorial Stadium after going there several times in my childhood. Later in the week, we'll continue our journey through the Carolina League, and we'll be back with this podcast at the end of the week and into next weekend. For now, thanks for riding shotgun today on the Low Mileage Tour on the 435 Voices podcast.